the privilege to share God's word. And because I'm going to be able to finish the two-part teaching about being a witness that I shared last time, part one, and I'm going to share part two today. So in part one, we talk about the definition, the legal and biblical concepts of being a witness. We talk about the value of the words and how God himself fulfilled his word beyond all expectations, magnifying his word by bringing forth to light the truth. So we saw how the apostles and after Pentecost became bold from being hiding behind doors for fear of the Jews, and how Peter confronted the multitudes of Jews, telling them how and all about Jesus' works, miracles, and wonders, and how they had crucified him and killed him. He told that God raised Jesus from the dead, being Peter and the apostles eyewitnesses of his resurrection. He talked to them about the prophecy from the book of Joel about God's, how God made available the Holy Spirit to all flesh, the promise of the Father of which Jesus taught and prepared them to receive, and how they, this multitude of Jews, by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, could also receive the promise of salvation and become sons and daughters of God. Promise that reaches all the way to us and beyond. Now let's see a few more things we should know and be witness of in this part two. Go to the book of Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. And he said, "The God of our Father has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." Verse 15. "For thou shalt be his witness unto all of what thou hast seen and heard." This verse is talking about Paul. See, the word chosen here means handpicked aforetime or divinely handpicked. And there is no way to deny Paul's calling and walk were more than amazing, because the hand of God who picked him aforetime was in every single detail of what Paul said or did. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read a similar word. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Paul presented himself here as a doulos of Jesus Christ, not a doulos of God. Verse 2 mentions the promise of old by God's own prophets. Verse 3 mentions that promise is concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made out of the seed of David according to the flesh. And in verse 4, the word declare, referring to Jesus, can be also translated determined, appointed, or ordained. The Son of God, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, reading all of these verses and just looking at the detail on every one of them, how can the world not see this and continue to preach and teach that Jesus is God? It is so clear right here. Verse 5, Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now the word called here and the word called in verse 1, referring to Paul, means appointed or invited. And it's different from the word chosen in verse in Acts 22. So the same way Paul was appointed or invited, we were also. See? That's what it means, appointed or invited. To be of Jesus Christ. So we all got an invitation. To all that be in Rome, verse 7, beloved of God, called against the same word, invited to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was testifying before the Romans that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and who was raised from the dead. Just like what Peter told to the Jews in the book of Acts, remember? Now here, verse 5 says that we have received. Receive is the word lambano. You know, I read that someone was, Elizabeth was looking through for the word lambano, right? Yeah. It is important that we know what the words mean so we can know the meaning of what God wants us to understand. So we can be able to declare that and be witness of what God wants us to be witness of. It's important that we understand, what lambano means. And the same way, I want to thank Jerry for his last teaching about fire. Thongs of, that looks like a fire. And in Acts chapter 2. Because that brings clarity to what we must know. God wants us to be confident in what we know. Confidence of the hope, confidence of the promise, confidence of his word. So it is important to know what the words means. So verse 5 says that we have received the grace and the apostolate out of love for his name. And in verse 6 says that we were appointed to be of Jesus Christ. As I say, we all received the invitation. Some say, yes, yes, Lord, I'm here. Send me. You know who did that? Well, but not everybody does. So we were also appointed or invited to be saints, as verse 7 said. And in verse 9, Paul mentions God himself as his own witness that he prayed for all the believers always. Could he have a better witness than God himself? I don't think so. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage against to fear, but ye have received the spirit of sonship. That's what the Greek means, not adoption. Sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. These verses clearly expresses that the giver, God himself, along with his gift, the gift we receive, Holy Spirit, bear witness that we are the children of God. That's why the proof of that is speaking in tongues, because we speak in tongues via the gift, the Holy Spirit that we receive. And that Jesus Christ, in addition to being our personal Lord and Savior, is our older brother. For we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Him, it says. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter and the apostles were sent to the Jews. And although he ministered to the Gentiles, remember, for the first time, Peter, he ministered to Cornelius and his family, and they all manifest and receive the Holy Spirit. But here he continues to preach the doctrine of Christ to all those Jews in exile. Peter and John and the other apostles were eyewitnesses and partakers of the sufferings of Christ. They were right there with him. They saw what he did, his wonders, his miracles. But they as well suffered with him. All the empathy we can manifest or feel comes from what we read from the Bible about Christ's sufferings when we believe and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But what we must tell to the world is about the glory that shall be revealed. That is another thing we must be witness of. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we had looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. A witness always testifies to what they see, they hear, or what they know. How? With their words and with their actions. Verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. John here makes clear that our fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ is the only true and real fellowship we need. Of course, with but everybody else as well. But it says that ye may also have fellowship with us. But if we do not have a true fellowship with God and with Christ, any other fellowship could be valueless. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. Message here from the Greek also means information, announcement, or divine assurance of good. And that's what we communicate. And that's what we are witness to. The message. That ye also may have fellowship with us. Oh, I'm sorry. Message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. And he sent his Son to bring his light to take away the darkness of this world via his word, his saying, his commandments, and promises. Now, do you remember the meaning of the word word? From the Hebrew, Amar, that I shared last time? No. Well, it means to bring forth to light. That's what the word means. So words are what a witness uses to bring forth to light. But the word of God, of course, not every single word. The light, the truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Second Peter 1:16. For we had not followed cunning devised fables, you see? When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were witnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18. And this voice we came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Peter, he refers to the time of the transfiguration, when along with John and James, they heard the voice of God testifying Jesus was his Son, to whom they all should hear. Now, let me now take some time to share about verse 19, 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Let me read you the interlinear Greek from here, English-Greek interlinear from verse 19. And we have more certain the prophetic word, which well you do, taking heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until this day shall have dawned, and the morning star shall have arise in the hearts of you. So verse 19 says that the more sure or certain word of prophecy whereunto we ought to take heed and believe is secure. The word secure or certain from the Greek is bibios. It means firm, steadfast, enduring, sure, certain. It comes from the Greek basis. And it's used only one time in the book of Acts. If you go to Acts chapter 3 verse 7, you remember that very quick. So, that is why we know that when we speak God's word rightly divided, we are speaking the truth. Because it's secure. All right? Acts chapter 3 verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and lift him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. Basis here is the word for feet. And our feet is where we stand on, is what supports our bodies. If we have feeble feet, we couldn't even stand up or walk. Okay? Now, the Quick Verse Bible Study software explains basis through the idea of basality. And basality refers to the quality or state of being basal, which typically means fundamental or foundational. The words that we speak, the word certain or secure, the more secure prophetic word, are fundamentally foundational or foundationally fundamental. Okay? Now, this word basal is often used in scientific or technical context to describe the underlying characteristic or the basic nature of something. So the basic nature of what we speak, you know what it is, right? The spiritual comes from God. Now, for example, in biology, it can refer to the basal cells, which are the foundational cells in a layer of tissue. They are responsible for producing new skin cells and play a crucial role in the skin's regeneration. But, unlike the process of skin regeneration, which is one more of God's great miracles about our physical bodies, this prophetic word or information that we have represents the underlying of the basic nature of the divine, is stable, is enduring, is steadfast. Now, why do I say these words represent the underlying of the basic nature of the divine? Do you remember 2 Peter 1:20? Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in all time by the will of men. These are not words, men of words. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is God's breathed word what supports our witness. Because like what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God is the source of the information of which we must be faithful witnesses. And we, my friends, were appointed, invited to bear witnesses of these words unto the uttermost part of the earth until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes back. Because the morning star has risen in our hearts and we have already seen the light of God, which illuminates our lives, transforming us into luminaries of this world, able ministers to declare his word. As 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, who had also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now the phrase New Testament here, from the Greek, really means a new quality of disposition, covenant, or contract. We are witness of a new quality of covenant. Jesus said, as the mediator of a new covenant in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one to another, as I love you, that ye also love one to another. So we ought to be witness of this new quality of contract, the covenant of agape. That is why it's foundational and fundamental that we take heed to it as unto a lamp. That's what the Greek word for light means here. Ligno, a lamp. Contrary to all of the worldly, fake, and dark information people is listening out there. See? 1 Timothy 1:4 verse 1 warned us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So, that is what fake news is all about. Doctrines of devils. But let me show you a few other things that are fundamentally foundational that we know and give testimony of. Romans chapter 4 verse 13. We must be witness of the promise to all that believes. Romans chapter 4 verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but throughout the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, not to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The word sure here is the same Greek word for secure word, certain word of prophecy. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22 confirms this. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We also must be witnesses of our confidence on the hope of Jesus Christ returned. Of course, of the hope, but of the confidence, our confidence on the hope. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This simply says that Moses' faithfulness as a servant was a testimony of what was going to come. Christ, the Son of God. Verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Let me give you a literal translation of this real quick. In verse 6 says, if we hold fast to the end our firm confidence. Our confidence must be firm. That's the same Greek word, bebaios. Oh. And the word firm is the Greek word bebaios. But the word confidence is the Greek word paresia. And this word means to be all outspokenness. Means all outspokenness, bluntness, or bold speech, and our boasting in the hope. So what this verse means is that our loud speaking of the hope must be firm, must be fundamental. So when we speak about the hope, it's not like, let me tell you about the hope. No, let me tell you about what the hope means. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming back, and there's no way anything that can stop that. We must be bold. We must be boisterous. We must be all outspoken. That's what the word confidence means. And to complete that, he says that confidence must be firm. And firm is the word, Greek word, bebaios, means that is fundamental, that we were loud. See? It is fundamental to be loud, boisterous, all outspoken, witness of the hope. Now, verses 7 through 11 in Hebrew 3 are quotes from the last part of Psalm 95. But in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. And this word confidence is different. Unto the end, steadfast unto the end. The word steadfast is bibios, is fundamental that we take this. Now this confidence is hypotasis. And hypotasis means a setting under, essence, assurance. So, we have to be loud, boisterous, confident, knowing that what we say have a firm foundation. Hypotasis, that's what it means, a setting under. And what confirms that what we speak is true? God and His Word. So, you don't do anything unless you have a base to stand upon. I mean, if you want to build something, you have to know why you want to build that thing. And when you build that thing, you have to know how. And you're not going to build anything on the air, right? You have to support it upon something. So that confidence is that support us to keep speaking the word, to keep talking about the hope, talking the promises of God. Screaming that we are God's children. From here, we learn that in addition to being the house of Christ, we must be all outspoken, glorying in the hope of Jesus Christ, with all assurance that He is coming back and there's nothing that can stop that. That is a fundamental fact to witness unto. Our confidence shouldn't wear out. It must be steadfast unto the end. You know, Jairus was talking about his book, talking about the lives of the believers from the beginning until eternity. Well, maybe, I don't know how long we're going to stay here when Jesus Christ is going to come back. But we should keep speaking the word and be witness of Christ until the end. That's what the exhortation is. So, there is a reason why Jesus said in John chapter 1:33 that to those Jews which believe on Him, if ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, we have to keep on going. We have to continue. If we receive the invitation and say, well, I just got to the party, but then I don't want anything else to do with it. No, we have to keep on going. The party and the rest, not just having fun. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Yes, because there is more than truth on God's word. Their promises. Things of you. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So only a slothful person will take God's word and God's promises for granted. But not we, right? Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we have to continue in the war. But patience, my dear, is the name of the game. We can see how through patience and faith, Abraham obtained the promise. Verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. Now let me give you a literal translation of verse 17. Okay. Wherefore, God by his own will minded in a more superabundant way unto those getting a share, a possession, or an inheritance, the announcement, information, message, divine assurance of good or promise, the unchangeability of his purpose, counsel, advice, or will, ratified by an oath or a sacred restraint. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Come on, that's so clear. Impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So those two immutable things are God's promises and God's will, certified by his own sacred restraint, his own oath. There was no one else or nothing else God could swear upon but himself. He is the creator. He is the greatest. There's nothing above him that could swear upon. So, the other thing is that he cannot lie. And he cannot change. Remember what he said in Malachi, for I am God, I change not, right? Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. So we must be witnesses of the hope. And another thing God expects us to be witness of is of his comfort to others through his word. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. We're close to finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Not 13, verse 3. 16, 3. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so ye shall be also of the consolation. So God expects us to be comforting others with his comfort, with his word. Is that what it says? Our hope is of you is steadfast. Steadfast is the Greek word bebaios. It's fundamental. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. I think it's the last section of verses. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is agape. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacked these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, those are the guys that only came to the party and they left. They didn't want any compromise. They didn't want it to continue in the world. They just say, yes, Lord, I will go. But after the fun is over, they say, no, this is no longer fun. See you later. Well, not us. No Joe, no Jerry, no Joy, no Kim, no Preston, no Jaylin, no Dulce, no Gary, no Julie, no Elizabeth, no David, no Georgia, no John. He's still in the battle. We are all still speaking God's word, being witness of God's word. We're being witness of Christ. In verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do this thing, ye shall never fail. The word sure is the same Greek word we've been talking about, bibios. But the word election means divine selection. It means that God selected you out of all of the people out there. That's interesting. We have been divinely selected through an invitation to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the best way to be witness is by an example, with our own walk. See, Jerry is talking about the walk of the believer from here to forever, to eternity. Well, we still have work to do. So, our own walk by doing God's word day by day. Now, in regard to nowadays, where the information flies from mouth to mouth, ear to ear, eyes to eyes, from mind to mind and heart to heart in less than a nanosecond, it's very easy to get confused and overwhelmed by such a bombardment of half-truths and total lies. Never forget the source of them is the God of this world, the father of lies, and the originator of fake news. Our exhortations as born-again believers is precisely not to pay attention to old wives' fables, like 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 mentions, or like 2 Peter called cunning devices fables. Let's keep in mind Romans 12 that teaches us about the renewed mind. The world loves to teach that information is power, which might be true in the five senses realm and good enough for a carnal-minded believer. But the real key to power is the renewed mind. And if we want to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, we should never ever try to fit within the world or its devices. On the contrary, we should speak of the great promises written in the Word of God, the great hope of Jesus Christ's return, and the wonderful consolation we obtain through it. We had been called, we had been invited, we had been appointed to be Jesus Christ's witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. And a wonderful key to do that and to grow is by speaking the truth, not only one to another in agape, but to be loud, all outspoken, boisterous witnesses, knowing that we speak words that comes right from the same breath of the Creator who cannot lie. And I want to close with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, Christ. So let us be those faithful and true witnesses of God and of Christ. Amen.